for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast with over like 50 years of playing PlayStation and like 15 years in that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation. I say like because it's the new year, it's increased. I haven't done the accurate calculations, but it's a long time.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to take part in future conversations, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. But yeah, you may have noticed we sent a different day. We discussed this at the back end of last year. We're like, hey, what if we record on Monday nights instead of Sunday nights, so that if I happen to have wrestling on Sunday, it doesn't get moved anyway. And we've been doing the same date for years, and that's fine, but it was more of, it works well, especially on a Sunday night, with me taking my son back to his mum's. It's just always a chaos rush at the end of a Sunday. Not the best way to end your weekend. And obviously, you got to rush off to work and stuff as well. But at least on a Monday, you're in the swing of it. So, yeah, slight change for everyone playing at home. Max, for 2025, how have you been?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. My break was good. I have kicked off my gluten-free lifestyle on the back end of last year. Mm-hmm. We found out, well, probably 3/4 of the way through last year, we found out that my daughter and I are pretty much guaranteed to be celiac. So I made the switch as kind of my New Year's resolution, then proceeded to poison myself 3 days later because I forgot to just like check ingredients. Actually, what happened was we ended up going, I took some friends out for some barbecue at the local barbecue place. And of course, it is served with a piece of bread. So my dumb ass made myself a fucking sandwich of delicious meat and then proceeded to just fucking have stomach cramps for the rest of the day because I glutened myself.
So, like, having only recently discovered this, right? Like, it's a little different for you. Are you noticing that now that you have more time away? Like, if you do have, like, obviously, you know, you lasted a couple of days without it, then you had it, and it's like, huh, and your insides just want to die?
Oh, yeah, I feel significantly better since changing my diet.
Yeah. Like, is it, like, just less lethargic and and not, your insides don't want to murder you all the time?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's nice. Yeah, but I mean, I'm in that simple boat, because
I'm going to commit to the bit now.
Yeah.
Now that I've started.
Because, like, years ago when I... You know, when they, like, where lactase, you know, the lactose chalk pills that gives you the enzyme that you need to digest lactose. Before that came in, I used to just die. Where now, like, I have that, it's brim. So if I accidentally have some lactose, it's the worst. It is horrendous. And then I've got old man insides as well, which doesn't make it any worse. But
apparently, I can get something called Glute Guard, which seems just like a piece of armor for my ass, but whatever. Apparently, it's a pill that allows me to like absorb gluten a little bit.
Yeah. It is one of the, yeah, it's not a bad idea. The downside is like whenever I have the lactase, rather than have it, recommends like one or two, I have like four because I know it's going to go gnarly. I'll just play it safe and just shelve them if I have to. But yeah, then my understanding is like, yeah, you made a mistake and ate gluten on the 3rd of January. You then proceeded to do it again?
Yeah, so I had a piece of chocolate.
Oh, no.
Had nuts in it. And it happened to contain gluten.
Oof. I didn't realize it's that bad now that you're, like, finally sorting it out.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I've literally been poisoning myself for years.
Same, yeah. Me too. What are you gonna do about it?
So I built up a tolerance, and then once I had flushed it out of my body by not eating it for a period of time.
I just think, yeah, no, I just think it's you. Yeah, it wasn't a tolerance. You just became accustomed to feeling like garbage, and you just assumed that this was how you lived.
That's why I said tolerance. So we've had the discussion with Hadley of like, we need to be careful with what we eat. So now every time we eat something, every time I feed her something, she's like, "Dad, is this gluten free?" I'm like, "Yes."
Oh, she's gonna be
Ob
annoying.
I'm obviously not trying to poison you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to give you food that you can't eat. But it's good that she's asking the question, because if we're ever not there and she like goes out with her grandparents or something, she's onto it. She's like, "Hey, I have to eat gluten free."
Well, look, that is certainly good to know, but then the downside is she'll forever be that person that's like, oh, is this gluten free? And like, I'm gonna fucking strangle you, random woman.
Yeah, but we're not doing it for a fad. We're doing it
Yeah,
because it'll
you
kill
genuinely need to, I suppose, yeah.
us. Like, for instance, we went out to Torquay yesterday, to get ice cream, and not all ice cream's gluten free.
No.
So I had to ask. I'm like, "Hey, what ice cream can she have? What do you have that's gluten free?" And the lady looked at me. She's like, "Do you have an intolerance or do you have celiac disease?" I said, "Well, we've got celiac." She's like, "All right, I'll be back in a minute. I'm just gonna go and wash all these spoons, so you have fresh, clean spoons. There's nothing
Oh.
like, and she's like, she can have any of these. All the sorbets are fine." So Hadley was still allowed to get her rainbow ice cream, so she was stoked.
Awesome.
I couldn't have my double choc Oreo cookie crumble because
You
obviously
think?
it's filled with my.
All the
So I had a
cookies
nice.
and shit?
So I had a nice raspberry
Oh, dude, it's the
sorbet.
same thing. Remember when like so I can't have ice cream. Why don't you have sorbet? I'm like, are you fucking serious?
I actually really like sorbet.
Like sorbet, no, not for me. It's just frozen flavored water. I want ice cream.
I actually don't mind sorbet, so it's not too bad. But sometimes you just want that like fucking New York chunky choc
Yeah,
chip.
exactly, right? And like, unlike yourself, so being lactose intolerant, I have the sweet luxury of going, eh, I'll take the hit, and then hating myself. So
We'll
at least.
see. A couple of days ago, Ali's like, "Oh, I've bought you some snacks because we can have Cheezels. Cheezels are like a really nice gluten-free option." And Ali thought she'd bought two bags back, but the second bag wasn't Cheezels. It's fucking like those Cheeto puffs that I really love.
But you can't
Can't have
have.
those because they're fucking filled with gluten. Ali doesn't like them, so they've been sitting in our cupboard for almost a week.
Oh.
And I'm just like, one day when I'm really constipated, I'm just gonna fucking destroy this
Yeah.
bag
Yeah. Or when the
of
world gets too much, just like, I'm just gonna eat this entire bag of things and just die.
So, well, I think we have a family event next Saturday. Maybe I'll just fucking
It's your breaking case of I don't want to go to this event bag. I do want to go to in-laws. Oh. Not a bad idea, not a bad idea.
it's my get out of jail free, tear myself a new one.
Oh, yeah, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. It would be quite effective. About myself, my break was pretty chill. I spent so I had my son here for most of it, which was lovely. Sup, mute? How you doing? Good to be back, man. Good to see your name again. Yeah, it's been a pretty chill break for me. I had my son for most of it, which was lovely. Outside of that, I went and saw my mum and my family over in Phillip Island. Was there for 2 days. Did have some sad news over the break though, which is a bit of a bummer. But yeah, a happy late New Year. Yeah, happy late New Year to yourself, man. And like, I won't share it because I want to, have a bit of a down note on the first show of the year. But yeah, it was some sort of rough news towards the back end, like a couple of days before New Year. But yeah, no, we're doing okay. Well, at least the best we can, which is lovely. Yeah, and then in the new year, not doing a whole much, just kind of chilling. Had a good couple of weeks off work. I didn't play as many games as I sort of wanted to, but it was good. I didn't really properly sit and relax until like the back end of it, and then I had a couple. I finally had some days to chill. But wrestling started up already, and my first show last weekend. It was at Wyndham Harbour, which is near Werribee. A lovely, lovely, like, we essentially set up a ring on this piece of grass next to like an open bay, and it was awesome. It was lovely. I got fucking sunburnt, as I normally do. Now, Max, similar to yourself with your gluten, you've learnt to accommodate and be aware of it. I'm in a similar boat with me being painfully white and my Ritalin also increasing my ability to be sunburnt. I played it really safe this time. At my Christmas party in December in Sydney, I spent the whole day outside in the Sydney Harbour, such sunscreen, got a little red, but not burnt. This was the same, except for a couple areas. I've come to learn, I don't know whether I told you this last year, because I remember when I did the show, but I found that I can tell a story in how my sunburn goes. I can find that, like, I do the whole spray in my hand, spread across the two hands, and then like one arm is way better than the other because I don't reapply on the hand. I just do the one and then the other, and you can see, like, if you look at my hand, you can see this streak here across the back of my hand down to my forearm, and this bit is all burny because I just did that part apparently, and then I proceeded to wash my hand, so then of course it just washed off. So the back of my hand sucks, and my scalp, it feels like it's on fire. It's horrible. It's butts. It's absolute butts.
Or a hat.
No, I don't have a head for hats. Are you shitting me? This has... That would make sense. Mute goes, hope you had aloe. Yeah, man, like, oh, I have learnt. I think it may have been you, Max, when I got so painfully burnt when I was living with you. That, like, you went, this is the aloe vera, this is what you should have. And it's never not been in my house since. I have learned a lesson, because that shit is brutal. Like, right now, as you can see, my hair looks like it has been styled. It's not. I've just rubbed aloe vera into my scalp, and it has done the similar effect of hair products.
You gotta get the mist spray.
Oh, the mist spray would make way more sense than just dousing my head in aloe vera gel, but... yeah, so that's probably like the most recent thing I've done. But as I mentioned, didn't really get to play a whole bunch of games over the break. Wasn't even until like the new year, actually, where I really got to properly sit down. So let's get into that section. Let's talk about what we've played over the break. Max.
I've played 200 hours of Path of Exile 2.
Jesus Christ. Good effort.
I wish I was joking, but I'm not.
I know, you're not joking.
Path of Exile 2 has taken over my life.
All right, well, you've touched upon it a little bit back end of last year. Tell us, obviously, after 200 hours, I hope you have more insight.
So, unlike Elon Musk, I actually play my character, and I know how to play the game. So, basically, I'm now in the end game. I'm on my fourth end game character. I think I've found what I'm going to stick to from now on. So essentially, once you hit the end game, after you beat the campaign twice, because there's not, because all the campaign acts aren't in the game yet, essentially you play acts 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, hey, you finished act 3. Go back to act 1, and now we're going to call it cruel mode. Everything's harder, and you're going to do act 1, 2, and 3 again. Mm-hmm. Exact same thing. And then when you reach the end game, they have this, what they refer to as the Atlas, which is essentially like a massive world map. And inside it, you have all these nodes that represent in-game map instances of the game. You load them up, you play through them, you get your XP, you get your gear, and you kind of just farm that out. You get an overarching quest of find the three citadels to get the keys. I found my first last night and cracked the shits because... I killed the boss too quickly.
Mm.
So the boss had a classic, I'm a two-phase boss. So I instantly got him to 1% HP. And then because it's clearly scripted to a degree, he spent the next 45 seconds invulnerable to damage and just kicked the shit out of me while I couldn't do anything to it. So I'm running around trying to survive, and then I got one hit killed, and then I cracked the shits because that map now is gone forever and I can't replay it, and it took me fucking 100 hours to find the first citadel map that I came across. I cracked the shits and turned it off. So there's more on the Atlas map itself, but I gotta go find them. So,
oh, okay, so the area is still available. You just need the Citadel, whatever.
So I need to find a new one. I can't replay that same one because I failed it. There is now a failed state on that individual instance.
That will that would make me quit this fucking game. Like, legit. Oh,
it did last night. I quit the
game. As in, like, I would never go back to it. Because the fact that I can... if I can never return to that and redeem it...
I can redeem it. I've just got to find a different instance of it on the overarching world map. Mm. So, like, it's like there. So, in today, they had a developer TED Talk today, and they're like, hey, we realize that some of the mapping in the end game is frustrating, so we're actually going to... because it's got fog of war, you can only see, like, a few nodes in any given direction. They're like, hey, we're gonna make it so you can see the citadels through the fog of war. So you at least know which
where
direction...
where you're hiking to, yeah.
Which direction to go in.
That's not a bad thing.
So that's nice. Because there's towers that kind of give you a larger view, and you can see those through the fog of war. So hopefully I can find another one pretty close by and get that going. Because, yeah, I was so angry.
I can imagine.
Granted, so there's like 16 tiers of maps. And obviously the higher the tier, the harder the problem. So I'd been farming like tiers 10 and 11. And to do the Citadel, you had to do it at a tier 15 minimum. Mm. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm even going to be able to do this. Because it's 5 tiers higher than what I had been farming to begin with. And then I went in there and basically one-shot the boss. I'm like, okay. And then, yeah, I did that bullshit. I need to transition, but I'm not going to transition straight away. I'm just gonna like, fuck with you for a bit. Mm. And then I got bullshitted. And then, yeah, cracked the shit. Turned it off.
Still loving it, though.
But that is pretty much all I've been playing. I mean, I'm still playing Astrobot with Hadley, because she's just... doesn't want to play anything other than Astrobot.
You've not been able to like slip anything in?
No. She wants to play VR Astrobot. She wants to play Astrobot Rescue Mission. I'm like, no, dude. Too young.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Wear that VR headset.
So, like, I push it a little bit with my son, and he's 8 for the VR. But, yeah, no, your little one, she's way too tiny.
So, apart from that, I haven't really been playing much. It's just Path of Exile.
Yes. I myself was at, like, I played a couple of things, actually, that I do need to sort of go through the list. So prior to... let me just pull up the list. Let's have a look. Prior to going on break, you know, as we normally do, I jump into Keymailer and I have a poke around and see what there is. And I actually found a couple of games that really piqued my interest. One of them, the first one, is... it's called Collectible Card Shop Master, or at least it was. I did believe it got renamed. So it was called Trading Card Shop Simulator, and instead now it's called Collectible Card Shop Simulator. So I applied for this knowing full well that it was not the one that I've been playing on PC, obviously. But I thought, why not, right? If this is like some knockoff, I could still have some fun, and I can still play it on my console. It is exactly that. It is a complete knockoff of the more popular TCG Card Shop Simulator that, you know, we've all known and played. To give you an explanation on this game, I got a platinum for it in about 20 minutes. So I redeemed the code. We were about to go somewhere, and then I had to kill some time. I'll play a game before we go. I got this trading card game. I'll jump on that. The beats are all the same. It's near a copy, I said, in almost every possible way, except they have their own Pokemon equivalent. It doesn't quite look as sharp. It plays a little jankily. But had I paid for it, I think I'd be in a very different conversation, but having got a code for it, I'm like, it meets what I'd want while I'm playing my PlayStation. And I got a cheap platinum in like 25 minutes. So like, win, right? So am I glad I played it? Yeah. Am I going to go back to it? No. Like, I got a platinum. I'm like, well, what's the incentive? Like, you know, at least want to push through a bit more. And just because, yeah, it wasn't as like clean as the more known the more known version of it. But yeah, look, I enjoyed it for what it was. I enjoyed it for that 20 minutes. Don't really recommend it. It does feel a little shonky. It absolutely feels like someone is. It certainly feels like an asset flippy sort of circumstance. But I'm glad I played it because why not? The other thing I played, which I wasn't quite sure how this was going to go. This one, Max, is called Chocolate Factory Simulator. Now, as we know, I do love my sim games, hence why I'm probably I'm talking about a bunch of sim games right now. It's pretty much the only thing I asked for in 3K Mailer. This one caught my attention because, A, I'm a big fan of, like, Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Love that story. So I was like, ooh, do I get to mess about in a cool factory that lets me make chocolate? Now, my initial reservation was, oh, man, is it going to be, like, something that I played like Gas Station Simulator or Laundromat Simulator, which I still play way too much of, where it's going to be like a factory and it's just me making chocolate, but in like a factory, you know, not the all drama, big, big fanfare that is like Willy Wonka. Instead, it's not. It's somewhere in the middle. So it's set in this steampunk-esque world where like all the machines you use are all driven by cogs and big levers and extravagant things. And you're living in this sky tower and everything is like all deliveries of said chocolate are distributed through air balloons, through these big blimps that float around the city. It's awesome. I was playing it with my kid and he was having a blast. Like, it goes, it's a little bit extra on the sim side in that you're sitting there having to like physically, you know, you have to spin it a certain, you know, mix it a certain amount of times and keep temperature consistent. And as Paul James Game says in the chat, fucking Bethany simulators. Absolutely. Absolutely. They are my weakness. And I'll get to explain why that's making another game I'm playing really, really enjoyable. But yeah, love it. Genuinely love it. Have a lot of fun. I'm enjoying making chocolate for people because there's different kinds of chocolate. You know, your milk and your dark and your white chocolate, and there's like a ruby chocolate, which I don't know what the fuck's in it, but it's like I've seen it at the local chocolatiery down in the Great Ocean Road. Yeah, and it's only done a little surface. Like my son, when we're playing it together, he goes, "Daddy, can we make like a review?" So for him, a review is when we make like those little let's play videos when we did Plucky Squire and Astrobot. To him, that's deemed as a review, so he wants to make one of those for me, so we'll no doubt do that one of those soon. Keep an eye on the socials and the YouTube channel. The other thing that I have been playing, which I've only done I can't really say too much to it at the moment, and that's this one called Game Builder Tycoon. So I'm a sucker for any like game building sims as well. Like, what's the one I played as well? I think this is called Game Dev Tycoon. I like management sims as well as regular sims. Now this one I've only touched upon a little bit, so I can't speak too much to it. But it's basic premise is you build the little bits to sort of create a game, and the game does all the stats and numbers. It's essentially like a big menu simulator, and I'm enjoying it so far. But I need to spend some more time with it before I can say.
Fucking nuts that. What you want to do in your downtime is work.
Okay, so this is the thing, right? So I found this really interesting theory around why people like simulators, especially neurodivergent people liking simulator games. And it's right, because it's like, I genuinely have a fucking disability, right? Which is fun. It's a weird thing to think about, but I do. And now, yeah, absolutely. Now, no, I completely agree. So, but there's something to it that, like, for me, things either come incredibly easy or unimaginably hard. So to be able to experience things or do things that are kind of within that middle space, Like, I would never run a gas station because I'd rather die. But like that, those repetitive tasks I find really calming. I found a whole like piece about it. I'll see if I can find it again. It really tickled my interest. But in short, my brain's fucked, hence why I like it.
Not that I can talk. I'll farm for the same piece of gear for like 100 hours just to get the perfect roll.
Exactly, right? Like, yeah, it depends on the different things our brains like to do. And I like to try things that I normally wouldn't, but it's in a novelty and fun way. Like, actually farming would be horrible. Farming simulating. But all that saying that, not every simulator I enjoyed. Like, lawn mowing simulator could get right fucked. I'd enjoy that at all.
Were you like shitting your pants excited when the Wallace and Gromit DLC was announced for Power Wash?
No, I've not messed with Power Wash too much, but they have the ability to just fucking nail crossovers. I don't know what it is. I don't know how they're doing it, but they've done like the Lara Croft Mansion. They've done like a tank from 40K. They've done SpongeBob's house and Bikini Bottoms. Like, they've got Wallace. They've got fucking everything. It's awesome. They've done Shrek Swamp, as says Mute in the chat. Like, come on. Like, they're incredible. And Final Fantasy's in there as well. You're doing some Final Fantasy thing. I don't know. Maybe you're like, you're power washing Cloud's Gooch or something.
They did Ghostbusters as well, didn't they?
Yeah, probably. But this does lead into a game that you and I have both been playing, and it is one that is, it's the name of the episode. It is Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. Now, so big thank you to the team over at PlayOn Australia for providing us a preview build of the title. Now, we can only really talk about, approximately the first 10 or so hours or up until a particular story beat. This is all preview impressions. Neither of us are anywhere near finishing the game. It's all initial stuff. Max, what is the setup, the premise of Kingdom Come 2?
So it kind of picks up where my understanding is it left off in the first game. So you are still playing as Henry of Scalitz, I believe, which is the town he's from.
The one that gets like fucking pillaged in the first one.
Yeah, so essentially you're on a revenge quest. Basically,
well, that's kind of the background, right? Like, the game itself, yeah. It opens with you and some right prick of a royalty mate of yours. You've got you're his guard. He's an asshole.
What's his name? Bloody something Capone. Yeah, I'm Hans.
I'm just calling Dickbag Capone because he was an obnoxious little asshole.
He keeps telling me to pull his dick for some reason.
Yeah, he's like, touch my pizzle or whatever pizzle. I'm like, stop saying pizzle, mate. So the idea is that you're accompanying him. He has been sent on his first mission, quote unquote, as a noble lord, and he's been entrusted to deliver this letter to someone, Van Burgo.
It's von Burgo.
Yeah, von Burgo.
Otto the Third is von Burgo.
Otto von Burgo. And then you, during the process of like hiking to this place, you guys stop, camp, get straight up pillaged. Everyone but you and your mate get murdered because you're busy getting naked, like not with each other, but you could, I suppose, if you wanted to, like in the water, in the pond, and you're like, there's boobies over there. So you kind of wander off from the pack to look at the boobies, and then everyone dies. So in the summary of the game, don't look at boobies, you will die. And then, yeah, you kind of have to survive. Your mate cracks the shits, he buggers off, and then it's just left to you to try survive, I guess, and try find your mate or try get to the king or the lord or whatever he's, who the dude is. Now, we picked up Kingdom Come Deliverance, the first one, prior to Christmas.
Yeah.
You shared your opening story. I played it. I had a different opening story, but similar. But for whatever reason, the first game didn't grab me at all.
It did not age well.
No. Yeah, playing it X amount of years after it came out, it looks rough and plays a bit rough. However, I am so unimaginably hooked into this game so far.
Of course, it's a fucking medieval life simulator.
I know! That's the best part about it. Like, it once, like, I was just playing it, and it, I was just enjoying it for what it was, right? I'm like, this is a sick, you know, like, this is the beginning of, like, a really sort of fun role-playing adventure. Like, I've spent more time in what I've played so far just wandering paddocks and going from town to town. Like, I'm not even like I'm like oh, there's the main quest over there, but oh, I'm gonna go find my dog. So I just start wandering west, and then I'm just picking up quests along the way. And the team's attention to detail, for lack of a better term, and polish and like quality of just the world itself, like just looking around, looking at the trees and the rolling hills, and I'm like, this is incredible. And I feel, it feels like the beginning of A Knight's Tale, you know what I mean, when you see fucking what's his face, you know, the guy that ended up playing Vision.
Yeah.
You know, he's wandering around these rolling hills of fields, and you're like, it's all whimsical, and you know, that's the energy that it gave me. Was it, sorry?
You're not naked.
Yeah, but you're not naked. You're not doing well. You know, once your mate gets jacked up, you're not doing well. But like that, I love. And then on top of that, I'm getting this feeling of like Red Dead Redemption 2, right? Like where I just had so much fun exploring and wandering around. The difference here is with Paul Bettany. That's the one. Thank you, MGB. I just want to go wandering. Like I don't have a horse yet, and I'm sure I could have got one, but I'm just walking.
So I just recently did a quest. Essentially, so after I separated from Hans Capone or whatever his fucking name
is. Oh, Hans.
It is fucking Hans Capone now that. Okay. After I separated from him because he was being a douchebag, I'm like, well, you're being
Hans a fucking fool. What a prick.
You're being like a right spoiled prick. You didn't want to help me do anything. I'll fucking do it myself. So I'm like, I need to earn some money. I need some coin. I'm going to go work for the blacksmith. My father was a blacksmith. Therefore, I know how to blacksmith. Easy. Basically went to the blacksmith and went, hey, I grew up in Forge. I've got this. He's like, okay, prove it. Make me a sword. I'm like, okay, no worries.
Were you expecting like to press 3 buttons and you'd have a sword?
Maybe.
I was. And then they go, grab the metal. I'm like, hang
yep.
on.
Yep.
Put and it then, in the fire. I'm like, hang on. And it's like, pull the bellows. And then I'm getting like quality aroused at this point. Because I'm like, what is this? And then it's like, yeah, bring it over to the anvil and you need to hammer it. You need to like literally hammer it bit by bit down the thing. And, you know, because of the adaptive triggers, there's like different intensities at which you can hit it. And you want to make sure you're not just whacking one spot. You need to do it evenly. You got to flip it over. And then you got to like, you know, put it back in the fire to temper it. And then I'm going to shove it in the water. I'm having a blast. I've made so many fucking horseshoes. It's awesome.
Well, I got really shitty because after you do that, he's like, hey, make some horseshoes for the people around town because they don't need fucking swords. I'm like, he's like, I'll give you this book. I'm like, okay, where's the fucking book, you piece of shit?
Oh, you got to go into your inventory and like read. Goes,
yeah, didn't know that, did I? Ages. So I spoke to him and he's like, oh, do you just want the next job? I'm like, okay, I'll do the next job. He's like, cool. Go find me the two fucks that I hired to deliver something. It never arrived. I'm like, okay. He's like, go to this town. I'm like, okay. So I started walking. I'm just fucking walking through the hills. And like, you have the stereotypical like RPG compass at the top. I'm like, okay, I'm going to fucking beeline it. Cause that's how I roll. Shortest distance. I'm like, this is a sim game. You have to wear shoes or your feet get sore. You have to eat or you fucking die of fatigue. I'm like, I'm shortest path. I'm like, put some apples in my fucking pouch. I'm like, off I go. And then I see this bush. I'm like, I don't want to have to walk around. I'll walk through it. Some fucking rabid dogs in the bush. I'm fucking kicking this dog in the face, trying to get it off me. I'm bandaging myself as I'm running away. I'm like, oh god, this is gonna be the start of Kingdom Come all over again. Except I've killed a dog instead of some asshole that stole my stuff. Made it to the town, and they're like, oh yeah, nah, it never came. But we'll put a patrol together. Do you want to come with us? I'm like, okay. He's like, got a horse? I'm like, does it fucking look like I have a horse? He's like, you got any money? I'm like, nah. He's like, okay, go talk to this person. He'll do you a sweet deal. I'm like, okay, if that sweet deal's not free, it's not a fucking sweet deal because I got nothing.
Yeah,
mate.
Money's really hard to come by in this game, which I really enjoy.
I made 3 swords for this fucking blacksmith asshole. Not once did he pay me.
Yeah. Oh, did you sell it back to him?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Oops.
I got barely anything for it. Not enough for a horse anyway.
No.
And then they're like, okay, you can just fucking walk behind us then. So they're galloping on their horses. And thankfully the game allows, has a follow function. So I just clicked follow and I kind of just enjoyed my surroundings without having to like actually do it. And then he's like, you good in a fight, mate? And I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. And he's like, prove it. And he's like, pick your weapon. I'm like, okay. And I have an option of like a sword, axe, or something else. I'm like, okay, I'll pick a sword. I've used the sword before. It'll be fine. He's like, oh, swords for the nobles. You can have my club. I'm like, why'd you give me the fucking option if you're just gonna hand me the club, you asshole? So I've been doing that, and I'm off fight, trying to find these fucking brigands that have stolen the shipment. And I'm just, the guy's like, here, have my crossbow. I'm like, I don't know how to fucking shoot. This thing doesn't shoot in a straight line. He's like, just don't hit me. And I'm like, okay. And
You say hit him immediately.
there's like six people in this fucking melee fighting. And I'm like, you all look the same. I don't know which ones are friendlies. I'm just not going to shoot anyone. I'm just going to sit here and let you guys win the fight, hopefully. But yeah, the game does a fantastic job of onboarding you if you haven't really
Oh,
played the
yeah,
first one.
absolutely, yeah.
Like, it tutorials you hard, and then it kind of gives you a lot of the backstory right at the front end of the game, which is awesome. It does still feel sluggish, but I think that's by design. It's that slow, methodical, because at the start of the game, when you do your like your initial like sword training, it's like, hey, you have to wear a helmet or you're gonna fucking die when you get hit in the head. But you can't just wear a helmet because that'll hurt your head. You need to wear the coif
You
under
need
the
to wear
helmet.
the fucking thing and then the
And like,
helmet and
and then you have to put a shirt on, followed by the gambeson. Then you can put your armor on. I'm like, Jesus Christ, no wonder I can't fucking walk fast or do anything, and why I run out of stamina after I swing my sword twice. I'm wearing like 50 pounds of fucking clothing to to not die
Once
if I
again,
get
like
hit.
if you want like a very accurate, feeling, that this is what the game delivers. And even the
Yeah, it really
combat
does.
itself, like we've touched upon the combat, but it's interesting. I'm now once again, I can't speak to the original because I don't remember it. I'm having more fun playing the second one, so the first one doesn't really exist in my head. But like the idea of the so they'll come at you, and you've got four areas of movement. You've got
It's
above, left, right, and down.
like that Ubisoft
Yeah, very
fucking
similar to For Honor.
thank you. I
In that
couldn't
you so
think of
you
the name.
hold, you sort of angle, and if they're gonna swipe that way, you want to block that way, and so on and so on. The difficulty that I had in the early days was realizing that it's supposed to be slow, where I'm just like fucking swinging my sword all everywhere, hoping to just wreck shop.
And
Then
then your
I,
screen goes gray and you're
yeah,
like
I essentially then get like pass out because I'm just gassed. And then I get shanked in the side of the head and I'm dead. And then because of the game has sort of like no autosave really, or minimal autosave, or it only ever saves when you're in a bed or when you're in the next step of a mission,
or if you save and
or if you
exit.
save using a drinky doohickey or you save an exit. So like I'll grab on my mission, heart wandering down the road, like 20 minutes have passed, and out of nowhere, some dude's like, fuck your face! And then he like jumps and stabs me, and then I'm like, what the shit? I'm dead, and I'm back at, the blacksmith. I'm like, that was half an hour ago. That is a bit poo. But that has frustrated me more times than I'd want it to. But thankfully, the game is so compelling to me right now that I'm just like, let's keep going. Let's do it again. It's so much fun.
And like, it's got a like a really massive perk system as well. So as you go through the game and you gain renown and reputation and renown and all that stuff, you'll gain XP and then you can level up. Similar to the first game, you'll get like speechcraft and all of those like social aspects. But then you can also get the likes of
But even then, like the way I'm playing now, I feel like my skills are growing just by doing things. So rather
Yeah,
than like putting points in spots, I'm just
well
kind of
you
blacksmith for a while and suddenly
so
I'm getting
you
better.
well so you don't put points in spots per se. So like, there's obviously your, because I've got it open over here, so I could get terminology and stuff correct. So I've got so you have like your dialogue stats, so persuasion, coercion, impression, domination, all that stuff. That just levels up as you select certain things during interactions. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure this is all within the embargo, right? Like, we've not said anything we shouldn't have.
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, good.
I believe it just said don't talk about past this mission and no scoring.
Yeah, which we don't score anyway, so win.
But you're welcome to talk about it.
Neither you or I are up to that mission because I keep getting distracted and sort of wandering off.
But as you for skills, like you said, there's obviously blacksmithing, there's alchemy.
Oh man, all right, let's touch upon alchemy for a second. Because if like you think the blacksmithing is kind of fucking tedious, you're gonna hate the potion making. I think it's brilliant. Like, you gotta crush it, put it in mortar and pestle, put it in the thing, bring it down, start the fire, make sure the fire's not too hot. Like, you gotta follow the instructions. It's sick. Like, it feels really tactile, and I love it.
Yeah. I was constantly going back from the recipe book to the cauldron, and then because it was the tutorial section, there's a woman behind me going, "You're fucking it up. You're doing it wrong. It's boiling too much. Take it off the heat." So as you do those, you can put skill points into things, and then obviously it makes those easier. You may get more yield from your potion making, and all that stuff. And then obviously there's combat ones and all kinds of stuff. But obviously we're still very early. I think I've put in about 8 hours, and I still don't think I'm anywhere near.
Yeah, no, I put like 9 hours. But as I said, I've spent more time fucking around doing nothing. Like,
where the thing is,
I've discovered that there are nests in trees. I'm like, ooh. So I found a crossbow somehow. I think I stole it from a corpse. So I did some grave digging at one point. And then I made some bolts, or I bought some bolts, I think. No, I bought some bolts. So it's like, I'll shoot the nest down as I see them. And there's like dice in there to play the little dice game. Or there was a lockpick. So I'm like, oh, hang on. This is a new little thing to find along my little journeys.
These fucking birds are just out here thieving shit.
Yeah, birds are just playing dice everywhere, hustling folk. The game does have its own, very similar to like a Gwent or a, I don't know, what's another example? What was the one out of Assassin's Creed? Valhalla?
It's not Liar's Dice. That's from a different game. But
The dice game in Valhalla. Very similar to that. In that, yeah, like, it's kind of, it's picking matches, matching numbers and
playing Yahtzee.
Yeah, hustling folks. I sort of know how to play it. I've won.
It's just Yahtzee.
Yeah, but there seems to be indiscriminate. Like, I seem to do like 3 turns, and the game goes, "Yeah, you're out of turns now. Suck dick." Where the guy above me gets like 17.
You never run out of turns until you don't get a scoring dice.
Oh. That'd make
so
sense.
The only single dice that scores are ones and fives for some reason. Like, they're arbitrary, but as long as you keep rolling a one or a five, you can just keep going until you run out of dice. And then in the tutorial section for that, it's like, hey, you can get loaded dice that just have more numbers on them that they should.
Yeah.
I'm like,
so
okay,
if
cool.
You go to shops, you can buy new dice. It's like, hey, this dice is just odd numbers. Like, sick. That's a whole bunch of fun. I enjoy that. As I said, I still don't have a horse yet, but like, I'm not against the whole survival, because it's not survival in like a debilitating way. It's like, hey, you're gonna get hungry, you're gonna want to have a sleep. It's pretty standardy stuff. You can't just go
People won't want to talk to you if you stink. You need to go and have a bath.
The fact that you can be honking is awesome. I don't know why I find that funny. But like, I guess in a medieval world or whatever time period this is in Bohemia, everyone's a bit honking. But I like that you then discriminate if you're a bit more honking. So the only downside I have at the moment is, yeah, money's hard to come by if you're choosing to live, with a good moral compass, as I'm choosing to.
Whereas I pick stealth and lockpicking as my like.
Yeah.
True trait.
No, I just went like big hitting with swords and stuff.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go on the fucking rob. I don't give a shit.
So like I said, I'll rob anyone that jumps me and I'll stab them or whatever and take their shit and flip it. But I won't, like, except from the they're like, hey, there's some shallow graves over here. You should dig them. I'm like, okay. Crossbow.
I must admit, the character models look significantly better from the first game.
Yeah, and I know we're kind of jumping all over the place because we
facial expressions are pretty cool.
Absolutely, like
and very well done.
The big thing that the I had the challenge I had grip grap try it again. The challenge that I had grabbing onto the first was solely around, like, a lot of it was visual, and like the controls were a bit shank too. And I feel that they've taken what they've made and what they've got from the first, have brought it into, once again, these are only early impressions, like who knows how long this goes, but they've taken all the learnings of that and they've brought it in here, and it kind of sets up this way for you to deliver this story. And I was thinking about this, I was pondering this over in my head. I'm like, why is the beginning of two grabbing me so much more than the first? And like, the first does have that opening cinematic that kind of sets the scene. Then you wake up in your little house and you go help your dad, and your dad's like, can you go fucking punch that guy for me? And then he proceeded to kick the shit out of me. He goes, you want any more? And I went, yeah. And then I pummeled him to, like, he fucking caved his face in. So he beat me once and then he was all hubris, and then I pummeled his face in. It was awesome. Where this, as you mentioned, it's a little more hand-holdy. It's a little more like directed, in that it's like cinematic, a little bit of gameplay, cinematic. Like, those first couple hours are very cinematic heavy. It's a lot of world building, a lot of lore building. But what I love about it, and especially if you're coming into the second one blind, in those early couple of hours, it, as you said, loads up with everything you need to know. But because the two main characters clearly have a history, you feel connected to them. You feel compelled to hear from them. Not in like the shallow way of when you meet new characters and they're like, oh, we have a backstory, and there's exposition dump on you. Like, the way these two characters interact with one another, the way they tell their stories, the way they engage with people around them, you can tell they have been in close proximity to one another for a while. And like, it's a whole different feeling. And it makes them more compelling for me personally. Like, you know, when there are some games like, oh man, how long have we been friends? Or, I think we have been friends for as long as, you know, as long as your brother's been around. How old's your brother? Oh, my brother is 12. You know, oh, we must have been, when you're 12 and I'm 25. So that must make us, you know, 13 years. Like, all that really heavy bullshit exposition. Like, this game doesn't treat you like an idiot in terms of its filling with the lore. That's how I feel about it anyway. And like, what needs to grab me, what I thought initially was going to be like good character stuff, then went, hey, you want to do some sim light stuff? I'm like, fuck yes, I do. And this game became immediately incredible. At least in these early days. Like, right now we're talking about it, I want to fucking stop recording and just go play more Kingdom Come, because I want to get this done for the review. And like, I'm so keen to dig deeper in the review chat. Are there any more preview-y based things you'd like to touch upon?
Off the top of my head, no. Just that, yeah, it does seem to handle a lot better. It looks incredible. It kind of really is that. It kind of almost feels like a slice of life.
Yes.
Type of something that you could really get yourself lost into. Like, obviously you have already just going and exploring. I worry that that's also starting to happen to me now. And it's one of those things of like, it's that Fallout problem of you have this really important quest to save your son, but like, there's this shiny thing over here that I can do that could be awesome. Like, I'm not in any real rush. And that's not a detriment to the game. The fact that I can find enjoyment and happiness going and doing, like you said, just frolicking in the hillsides is great. And like, it's not empty wilderness either. Like, it doesn't take too long to walk from settlement to settlement.
But the map makes it look bigger than it is.
Yeah. I believe there is a fast travel system.
There absolutely is. So, like,
you can get in like a cart and just be like, whoosh,
yeah,
I'm going.
If you interact it sort of within a town, like, you'll find like the key little fast travel locations with like the main towns or locations that you engage with. Yeah. So, I am getting that level of enjoyment and exploration, and that same of, ooh, what's this that I haven't felt since I played Oblivion for the first time, or since I played Skyrim for the first time. Like, you know, we've talked on this show before about how I have an aversion to, like, high fantasy, right? I find it fucking annoys me most of the time because it's all, like, goblins and magic and my amulet and bullshit. I don't fucking care. Where this has little hints of it when they're like, there's a water troll. Can you sort out the water goblin or whatever? But it's also grounded in a reality that I really enjoy. And it's not fantasy. It's just, as you said, slice of life from that window of time with a fantasy-esque story. Mm. So wanting to just go see things and find what's out there is incredible. And I cannot wait to talk more about it when we can do our full review. Because the game itself is coming out on February 4th. I don't remember off the top of my head what the review embargo is, but we will likely have a standalone episode of the show in the More the Players, where we will just dive heavy deep into the full review of the game in itself. Like, I know friends of ours, like Paul from Player 2, has also had hands-on with it, so I imagine we'll probably get him involved. And also, I found out, now that we switched to Monday night recordings, he's free Monday nights. Maybe we can have like him come in and like a... excuse me. What is it called when someone goes to like Las Vegas and they do a show for 3 months and they fuck off for a while? Like a residency? Yeah, well, we just get Patch... We get Padge to come in, does a, you know, 10-show residency and then buggers off again. That'd be fun. Could have a third for a little while. But so we'll have a review discussion of that in the coming weeks, I guess. But look, go poke around. There's a bunch of incredible preview coverages out there. Obviously, you know what we like. That's why you listen to the show. You know, we talk about like what we like, so it's very tailored to us. If you are in line with the games that I enjoy or the games that the Max enjoys, you hopefully Kingdom Come Deliverance fits for you. So what I'm essentially saying is go look at previews. If the previews are enticing, give it a pre-order or keep an eye on it for when it comes out early next month. But once again, big thank you to the team over PlayOn Australia for providing us that preview code. I expected we'd talk long. I didn't expect we'd get almost 30 minutes out of a preview discussion. So
yeah, I think it's kicking off like the February storm of games.
Yeah, and like very similar to Skyrim, I have a feeling I'll likely never finish this game, but I'll just like get to a point and I'll be like, I've spent like 400 hours here and I've not really done anything. I'm really good at blacksmithing though, you know, and like stuff like that. They've created a world that I want to go and live in for a little while. Like when I'm not playing Call of Duty for some reason, which I still totally am. Like I'm playing way too much Call of Duty multiplayer. Also, that campaign is crazy. It just did that little Fopen world area where you're in like your rocky desert and you go like, hey, you want to go over here and do these things? Oh, it's awesome. And then there's the after ones like with the zombie sort of crossovers, you get all drugged up from this building. Oh, good stuff. Anyway, Kingdom Come Deliverance, we'll have more to say shortly. Max, an hour in. Let's get to the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
Well, CES happened this week in PlayStation, and Sony was there, and they talked about some random stuff. They had this fucking room set up that was like Smell-O-Vision, but a room scale Smell-O-Vision.
That's where you could, like, box.
I think they were playing, surprising no one, The Last of Us. You could smell mushrooms everywhere. But the big news coming out of CES for Sony was that Horizon Zero Dawn is no longer coming to Netflix. But they're doing a movie. So Horizon Zero Dawn was originally planned to be a live-action Netflix series, is getting a big-budget movie instead. Announced during CES 2025, PlayStation Production Productions' Asad Quizzlebash...
Yep,
nailed that. Confirmed that his department is partnering with Columbia Pictures to bring Aloy's origin story to life. There have been no casting announcements at all. Following that, Helldivers 2, while very few details were announced, Asad Quizzlebash also spoke about...
Helldivers 2.
Well, Helldivers is getting a movie. There's no word on who will write, direct, or star in the movie. It's just coming. Sony also spent a ton of time talking about anime during the CES conference, reminding everyone that it's all in on the rapidly growing medium. While it used most of its time explaining the audience why anime matters, It also announced a new project, Ghost of Tsushima Legends, inspired by the dark fantasy online multiplayer mode of Sucker Punch's Ghost of Tsushima. This is coming from Aniplex and Crunchyroll. The series will air in 2027. The press release reveals, quote, Takanobu Mizuni from Star Wars Visions of the Duel will direct the series at Kamikaze Douga, with Gen Urobuchi writing the story composition. The anime will be produced in collaboration with Aniplex, with Sony Music serving as music and soundtrack partner. Additional staff and cast were not announced at the time of this panel. Also remember, our live-action Ghost of Tsushima movie is also in the works from John Wick's Chad Stahelski.
All right, well, let's touch upon these first, and then we'll go into the next bit. So, if you want to hear some more thoughts about this, I did appear on this week's episode of Patched over at player2.net.au discussing these exact things. So, I will be repeating myself here, but I'll give it mostly to Max. Horizon Zero Dawn, once again, originally was meant to be a Netflix series, however, has since transitioned to a movie, as they mentioned. It is being partnered with Columbia Pictures, which is a subsidiary of Sony Pictures, so great self high five. I believe I was originally quite excited at the idea of it being a Netflix series. However, upon reflection and consideration, I kind of think it might be better as a movie. A number of reasons. One, budget. So, as I mentioned this in the chat with Paul, we have seen recently with LEGO Horizon Adventures how easy it is to compact the Horizon Zero Dawn story into like an easily consumable package, right? You just hit the key beats, which is you don't know where you're from, you don't know your mum, you live in a tribe of peoples, there's robot mechs, and things happen. Like, that is the thing, right? So you can condense that into like a 2-hour, 2.5-hour film, and it wouldn't be a problem. But with those key beats, some of them are character-based, pardon me, but then you've got the mechs, the dinos. The budget of a TV series would not accommodate the needs of that. Because if those robots don't look good, they don't pass the sniff test, that show will suck. Where The Last of Us is an example, which we'll talk more about shortly with the announcement date of season 2, with it being such a character drama and it's set within like the real world, aside from you know, minor makeup or CG to make the clickers or make the world look a bit more apocalyptic, it's a people story. So it's really easy to like just, you know, that's where a series works strongest. Same as God of War over it when that comes out from Amazon. It's a character story. So you don't need big bombastic set pieces, and you will get them, but you'll get them infrequently as they spend more time focusing on the individuals. Where like Uncharted, which was a movie, would never be a TV series because you need the scale of a film to match that. Do you agree?
Yeah, mostly.
All right, well, fill me in. What do you think about Horizon?
I don't think there's enough story. Like you said, I don't think there's enough story to fill out a season of TV.
Yeah.
For a start. But yeah, it'll all come down. I just don't want it to be like fucking Transformers with Aloy. I don't want it to be Transformers with Aloy.
Yeah, like, that would be the fine line.
But I have a feeling that's exactly what it's going to be.
Did you ever watch the Monster Hunter movie?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, was that any good? Because that'd be a big indicator, really. I actually now want to know. Hang on. Monster Hunter movie. From 2020, it is... Who is it? It's got Mila Jovovich. It was done through... It was distributed by Sony through Screen Gems. But the production companies weren't... Well, I thought it was maybe Columbia or something. But I was trying to see whether there would be some crossover. Because knowing that like Milla Jovovich has done quite a number of... like she did all the Resident Evils, which were all Sony properties. I thought there might be some sort of sneaky in there. And there is a little bit just through the distribution, but not from a production standpoint. So I can't connect those two.
I think it makes more sense in a Helldivers movie, though.
Okay, yeah. So the Helldivers one's...
We've already seen that movie.
All right, well, you you give me some lead on that. I went lead on Horizon, so.
In a game that kind of has a very base level story, quote unquote, it's just like, I don't see it being anything than kind of like, it's going to be the fucking Space Expendables is what it's going to be.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I don't think we need it again because we've already had it.
So, yeah, that's the trouble that we have here is it is just Starship Troopers. But as Paul mentioned, as mentioned in our conversation, like, is Starship Troopers a relevant reference to the current day audience? We know because we're old. But like, what year did that movie come out? Like 97. I was gonna say 96 to 98, but yeah, 97. many viewers weren't even alive back then, so that's a point of concern. Now, I would imagine that this would be a comedy movie because of how Helldivers sets itself up. It is unintentional. It's like intentionally comedic, but like not joke comedic. It's the scenario and the conversation and how it's communicated that is comedic. I almost see this like, knowing that they're all clones is essentially the premise. Well, at least that's the interpretation of Helldivers, is that they're clone people and they just throw them into this fucking war. Because there's like the that many people to just make expendable on some fucking bug planet is crazy. it does give us the benefit of, like, in my head, I imagined it like, do you ever see that movie, This Is the End?
Yeah.
That's how I imagine it in my head. But it's all, you know, you kind of, like, it doesn't have to be Seth Rogen and his buddies. But I like the idea of, you know, there's a group of soldiers, you know, and then they get thrown into this, and it just goes utter chaos once they hit. And then the idea that they can just die and then come back is really interesting in and of itself. or it's like a workplace comedy in that, you know, you're the management that are like making all these people die. It is difficult because it does already exist. It's like, why make an Uncharted movie when Indiana Jones already exists? You're deep in reading, Face Max. What have you found?
So going back, there's an article from March. February of last year. Helldivers 2 is giving Starship Troopers the renaissance it deserves. Apparently there was a massive uptick in people watching that movie after Helldivers came out.
Okay, yeah.
So I really don't think there needs to be a film about it.
But if it's good, then I ain't mad.
Nah, but it won't be.
Yeah, it won't be though. It'd be dumb CG fest.
Yeah, history. If history has shown us anything, game adaptations are few and far between when they're good.
Yeah, commonly not good. But the beauty of these are all being produced within PlayStation Productions, which allows at least some oversight. Like, it's no longer them selling it off to, like, you know, someone to make fucking Resident Evil or Doom. You know, like, the teams that hold these IPs are a lot more involved, which is fantastic. But the one that I think interests you the most is Ghost of Tsushima Legends.
Look, I think it's interesting that it's getting love in the sense that it's got a live action movie for the main game itself, and they're like, hey, the lore behind the multiplayer nonsense, because that's all very it goes pretty deep. It's cool. But again, they're shaking their own hand by putting it on Crunchyroll
not a bad thing in that they control every step along the production. Like, there's no one trying to fuck with them or squeeze them. If there's any problems or fault or fall short in any way, there's only one person to yell at.
And then obviously, like, they also, you know, it was also pointed out that Sony Music will be serving as the soundtrack partner. I'm just like, I feel that means that there's going to be no original music for it, which kind of sucks. The fact that it's not going to be out for another 2 years is interesting. It makes me wonder how large of a series it's going to be. Because if they're working on it now and it's taking them 2 years to release six episodes, that's fucked. We'll see what
Well, and
happens.
the Helldivers one is essentially a pre-production announcement, right? And it's very likely this is the same. Like the Horizon's slightly different in that there was the beginnings of something with Netflix. However, my understanding is there was a bit of a clash with the personnel side of things, where like the director was not rad, and they had to like boot him, and then creative differences saw the rest. But you can correct me on this because I'm having never played Ghost of Tsushima Legends. I played Ghost of Tsushima, and I, although it didn't resonate with me entirely, I can understand it. It's amazing for what it is. By making this an anime, it allows them to sort of go bigger and once again use those terms before, bigger, bombastic. They can tell these next level, legends. Like, oh, he took on this huge fucking thing, and like within anime, it's all you can have that, and you can make it bigger and legendary.
The whole thing is the multiplayer is very supernatural,
Well, there you go. Well, that's something that's easily
whereas
deliverable within anime.
which makes it easier than trying to do it live action. Obviously, the Ghost of Tsushima itself as a story is very grounded. It happened in a real place. It takes place in a real place. It's real people. Whereas Legends is very much you are fighting demons and yokai and all of those fun things from Japanese lore.
And on the back of successes like Cyberpunk and Castlevania and Arcane, like you can understand the desire and the interest to do a collaborative yet supplementary but supportive TV series, which is pretty cool. Or at least an animated. And I also imagine it, the way I was envisioning it was like three episode arcs. You know what I mean? Rather than a whole thing, it's just three episodes that tells this one legend, another three that'll tell this other, and then you're covered like the four class types, 12 episodes.
Well,
Was it four class types?
there was, but I'm trying to work out how many levels there were, because they might tell the raid stories.
Oh, that would be cool.
I can't remember.
Yeah, that's fine. But speaking of TV series, though, they did also come in and they did drop some info around The Last of Us. So Sony brought Naughty Dog boss Neil Druckmann up on stage during its CES 2025 presentation to briefly talk about the new game Intergalactic: The Heretic Prophet before transitioning to The Last of Us and its forthcoming second season from HBO. A short trailer was shown, which shows actress Caitlin Dever, Dever, in the presumably controversial role of Abby, alongside several other scenes from the game, including the ballroom. He then confirmed that the series will premiere in April on HBO and HBO Max, and it will consist of 7 episodes. So we do also know that part two is being split into two seasons. You get season two and season three, and that will be the collective story of part two. Now, without going into spoilers, the presumption is that sort of key moment in the theater halfway through the game, where the time goes back, is likely that transitional point just from season to season. However, we as we saw in the first season, they are willing to shift it up a little bit, condense some parts, extend others, while also share new stories that we may not have seen or experienced. So my original thought, and I mentioned this in the chat with Paul, was that they have the ability to tell time jumpy stories that The Last of Us Part Two, its main point is you are playing it and you are involved in it and you are responsible for the choices these characters make. And sometimes it puts you in a position where you have to make it, you don't get a choice. You have to make this decision. And it's an uncomfortable decision and a confronting decision. And in a passive medium like television, you need to kind of show them more of that. Because you can't feel it because you're not playing it. So an example would be this is not this isn't spoilers because it kind of sets up the character arc, right? At the end of The Last of Us Part One, the game, we know that Joel goes in to save Ellie, kills a bunch of folk, right? So that action is entirely a trauma response from the loss of Sarah. What I would like to see, if they're going to do some time jumping and be able to flesh out, because one of the things we want to hear about the story of the time between Last of Us Part 1, between the outbreak and when we see Joel at the beginning of the game. What's happened in his Jesus years, right? What I think would be powerful is you show him exactly right after the loss of Sarah. You see that raw, that raw emotion, that pain, that anguish. Then you compare it to events that impact Abby. I won't tell this, the entire story, but you know the events that put her on her path, her moment of trauma. And like, I think being able to see those two moments alongside each other, you learn to realize, because once again, the whole point of part two was everyone is the hero of their own story. The other people are always the villain, because we spend time playing as Ellie and we see the world through her eyes, where she's the hero and there are the villains. But then we spend time with Abby and we see the world through her eyes, you know, when she's the hero and the others are villains. And I think connecting those two pains together in Joel and in Abby, like the unmatched pain of loss, is huge. And then you could then tie it into other parts within the game the game and then the show as well. That's what I would like to see, personally. And then leading into the events of the game itself. But April's not very far away, which I'm very grateful for, which does mean I'm very likely due a rewatch heading into April. I'm down. I haven't watched it since we did our review, because it was very, very, very emotionally intense. And I'm not quite sure whether I'm ready to cry all over again for the beginning of The Last of Us, because whatever format they choose to show it to me, I end up just crying like crazy. So what about yourself, Max? Where are you with season two?
I don't want a time jumpy story. Mm. It fucking sucked for The Witcher.
I mean time jumpy as in like you get some flashbacks to create further understanding of a current time. In the same way that in like episode 3 when they're talking like telling Frank's story, they show Frank in the past, but then they connect it to the now. That's what I mean by time jumpy, not as in like episode 1's in 2022.
Okay, you know, that's fine. I don't mind a good old flashback.
Yeah.
I don't mind an entire episode that's a flashback that fills in the gap, but I don't want him.
Yeah, if you're like, if you have to then guess what year it is all the time.
Yeah, don't fucking sprinkle them through all 7 episodes. Look, they did a fantastic job with season 1. I don't think that they're going to do anything crazy that will change everything in season 2. I think you're spot on of where the transition will be. Yeah, it'll be good.
Oh, it'll be exceptional. The only challenge, and this is just a downside of Bella Ramsey's face, I guess, is that, you know, she does have a younger face. That's why it made her so good in the first season. However, like the idea is there is supposed to be quite a bit of time. She should have aged, where like, you know, it's only been 2 years in real life and she still looks kind of the same. She's in her mid-20s, she is just gifted with looking really young.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge. But they've also cast Abby to look quite young as well, as the name mentioned earlier. Where was it? I lost it. Caitlin Dever. She looks quite young as well. So I think they're kind of trying to just scale back the age of Abby a little bit, or at least the appearance of Abby, to have them line up visually.
Yeah.
All right, I'll jump into this one.
Go. No, you go. Say, there was one last piece of PlayStation news, but if you want it, you go for it.
Yeah, I'll jump in it. We'll split it down the middle. It's quite nice. Let's see. All right. So a job listing for a senior project producer has confirmed an open secret that Sony has established at least one new AAA studio in LA. Now, the belief here is this is out of Sony San Diego, which is the team that do baseball, MLB. There are reportedly several groups that this could ultimately be, but the smart money seems to suggest that this is likely the team led by Jason Blundell of Call of Duty Zombies fame, who left Deviation Games in 2022. The listing states that Sony PlayStation Studios is seeking an LA-based, quote, outstanding talent to join our passionate team and creative family in crafting the next high-profile AAA console title, end quote. What's incredible is that there is confusion as to which of Sony's seemingly secret teams this could refer to. In addition to the Blundell gang, a mysterious internal live service support team was formed from Bungie, which we learned about the back end of last year. And we also have heard that Sony's Secret San Diego team, which I mentioned earlier, was still working on an existing franchise that was allegedly believed to be Uncharted. So we don't know where this sits with Blundell. Let me try to, if I remember, let's see, Jason Blundell. There was the guy that they brought over who was sort of the head of, that was the Concord, wasn't it? The guy who had who essentially made the season pass, battle pass for Fortnite. Yeah, so it doesn't... So, yeah, a lot of Call of Duty. Like, almost exclusively Call of Duty. So, whatever he's working on, I would say pretty confidently it's a shooter. Which PlayStation has been missing for years. Is it a new shooter, or are we getting Killzone back? Are we getting Resistance back?
Well, I'm going to segue into the next episode, the next story here.
Oh, yeah.
PlayStation may be getting a shooter soon.
That's coincidental.
So one of the questions PlayStation owners are looking to have answered in 2025 is how Microsoft's multi-platform efforts will evolve after its initial batch of PlayStation 5 and PS4 ports. Future titles like Doom, The Dark Ages, and The Outer Worlds 2 have been confirmed for PlayStation systems, but what about the back catalogue of games? According to industry insider Nate Drake, speaking on his podcast, Halo, the Master Chief Collection, and Microsoft Flight Simulator are two titles he's heard will make the jump across. He said, quote, games that I've heard will be released multi-platform in 2025 beyond the obvious include Flight Simulator and Halo the Master Chief Collection. Nate Drake states, both games will be coming to PS5 and Switch 2 alongside the above two games and the Elder Scrolls, 4? Oblivion Remake in 2025. Mm-hmm. A known and reliable insider within the industry, Nate Drake has often been on point with their predictions and claims, with many seen on the recent Era forum. He continues, quote, Microsoft is just going to fully embrace that the third-party push. I'd say any game coming out this year from Microsoft will at some point find its way to PS5 and or Switch 2. It's just going to be a question of when.
Yeah, so this is on the back of Age of Empires. Has mm-hmm. also been seen. It looks to be clearly in like a only semi-secret beta testing, because there's footage out there of someone playing it with PlayStation controls. I distinctly remember
Hellblade 2 is also on that list. Gears makes of sense. War Ultimate Edition, Age of Mythology.
Mm-hmm. So I remember hearing that there was a playable build in some capacity, or at least the attempts to do so, of bringing Halo over to PS3, I think. They were pretty close, but then it just never happened. So there has certainly been intention to do so in the past. I do think both Gears and Halo are certainly coming. I believe that they would be kind of the last ones to come across, with them being essentially the tentpole franchises of Xbox. Once they come over, then it's done. So, yes, we're getting Doom. An Oblivion remake would be cool, but that game plays like ass, so that'd be interesting.
But to be fair, if you look at Microsoft's advertising campaign, everything's in Xbox now.
Yeah,
so
both.
Why not just make PlayStation? Why not just make PlayStation and Xbox and then be done with it?
Well, they still have a bunch of consoles to sell that they've built and made and sent out to places. That'd be the only hurdle. But also, it appears that no one's buying it anyway. So, Project Latitude, I think, will probably get a bigger kick in this coming year. Having never played the Halo series in full, because I am a PlayStation guy, I would play the shit out of it. Like, legitimately, I play all four. And I think there's a fifth one too. Maybe I'll play five.
Sounds like a really fun co-op campaign style.
That could be fun.
Get Paul in.
Yeah, man. Let's go.
And do the PlayStation takes on Xbox.
Because they also mentioned in here, well, we'll touch upon this a little bit more as well. Like, I was listening to Sacred Symbols this week, as I always do. And they were touching upon, apparently when it comes to this Oblivion remake, it is essentially, it's two systems working together. It's the Unreal Engine, but it's reinterpreting the essentially the source code of Oblivion, which was made in the Creative Engine. So, like, it's kind of getting the visual uplift of Unreal, but it's still on the bones of the creative engine, which sucks because that engine was ball bags then, and it's still pretty ball bags now. So that I'm not sure of. Flight Sim makes sense. Flight Sim should be everywhere anyway, because there's nothing else like it. But yeah, no, I do believe that, yeah, Halo and Gears are, like, they're the, once they come across, it's done. It's done. But Dark Ages, though, ooh, get sexy. Quick bits.
Surprising no one, The Last of Us Part 2.
Isn't it my turn?
Yeah, it's always your turn. Yeah, you go.
Yeah, always my turn. I just don't shut up. Quick bits. The Last of Us Part 2 on PC requires PSN. clutch my pearls. The first Berserker, Kazan, is getting a PS5 demo next week. What the fuck is that?
It looks Souls-likey.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Assassin's Creed Shadows has been delayed again. This time it is moved from February back to the 20th of March. This was mentioned essentially some sort of touch-ups, essentially. And this one gets Max all moist in the front area. Elden Ring Night Rain is getting a network test, getting a CNT, getting a good old cunt. And hopefully
sign-ups are now live. It's dropping next month, I believe.
Have you put your name down yet?
Yes.
Good.
But I have a feeling that the time frames are balls. Because like every Bandai Namco closed network test, they give you like, it runs for a weekend, but only during like X and Y time and X and Y time. And they're always catered to not Australians.
Well, which is great because you work on a different time zone anyway because you work overnights, but
so
still inconvenient.
Yeah. Upcoming titles this week. On the 16th of January, we have Arcane Age coming to PS5. Astro Bros.
Okay.
Coming to PS5. Being Stronger While Playing Silver Star Go DX PS5.
That is so clearly a translated title. Holy shit.
Demons of Astaborg PS5. Dread Out Remastered Collection, PS5, PS4. Morkul, Ragast's Rage, PS5. And Things Too Ugly, PS5. On the 17th of January, we have Dynasty Warriors Origins, PS5. Tales of Graces F Remastered, PS5, PS4. I totally didn't realize Dynasty Warriors was coming out, like, straight away.
Oh, wait. I was going to say, clearly the start of the year, nothing's good. And I still stand by that point. But yeah, Dynasty Warriors. Holy
Dynasty
shit.
Warriors is dropping in a few days.
Well, there you go. Wow. Well, there you go. Well, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you, as always, for everyone that joined us. Now, we didn't do it this week because this week we knew the main brunt of our conversation would be catching up on the news, CES. But of course, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 was going to be our key point. Max, now next week, we should do our video games draft for whatever many years in the row this is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, previously, we had done it. We've opened up the community and the listenership to make the selected games for us. Now, granted, our audience is no longer near as vocal as they once were, so we essentially pull the list anyway. So, unless people are keen to give us a list of games to pull from, would you be open to just pulling the games out ourselves?
Yeah, I'm open to that. I think that would be an interesting take, actually.
Yeah, because the restriction of it in the past has been a blast. but like full, like, because we're essentially one full, like every year we've done this, it's been me, then you, then me, then you, then me, however many years we've done it.
Mm.
Like, I would like there to be a follow-up. And I think if we kind of just like rip it open and we can go ham, like, who won last year? You did, right?
You did.
I did. Crap.
Two of my games didn't come out.
Well, that means, well, you get to pick first. So congratulations. You're probably going to pick GTA 6 first. Well done. So you
can going to come out this year.
Well, it depends if you think it's going to come out this year or not, right? So yeah, we'll rip it open. We'll allow us to just pick the games that we think would
imagine if it comes out and it just fucking sucks.
It's unlikely. There's too many bajillions of dollars thrown into it to have it suck. But yeah, we'll switch it up a little bit this year. We'll go a little bit. We'll try something. And if it happens for me to go back to back, I'll be happy with that. Because as of yet, no one's been a back to back winner, which clearly identifies that there is something within our selection criteria that has allowed us to sort of go bim, 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 bim.
We've hamstrung ourselves in the past of like, if your game didn't come out that year, you had to pick it the following year.
That part we removed because that was dumb. Yeah, I got really burned by that.
Something fucked you up.
In that case, we work off 8, right? 8's our number.
Yeah, correct.
Do we want to have benched games?
Do we, have dark horses just in case?
Yeah, so if we get a 0, we can have the choice to swap it in.
Nah.
You want to get 0?
You pick your 8, that's your unfortunate.
All right, cool. So we've still got some restriction, but we've opened it a little bit. I like it. I like it a lot. But of course, well, big thank you to everyone for checking out the episode. It is good to be back for 2025. I think this is like literally my 11th year. I think come June will be my 11th year of doing Pop C in some capacity. This is like our 6th year of for the players, I think. 7, maybe. Fucking who knows at this point. It's so goddamn long, at least for me. You've how long? Fucking me. I mean, you've done it for like...
I think it's been 4 or 5 now.
Wow, damn. That's a lot
of time. Well, it was pre-COVID, so...
It was pre-COVID, yeah. I think it was back end of 2018, actually.
Pre-COVID.
We filmed a lot. Like at my old place.
Yeah.
It must be in 2018.
It's been a hot minute. I think I've done like 200 and something episodes now.
Yeah, that
so.
Would make sense actually. Yeah, well hang on. Yeah, it would have been 2018. Because 2019...
Because I think we've passed the point where I've done more episodes than Josh.
Oh, that you most certainly have.
Like, yeah, by, absolutely. Yeah, probably by a fair mile.
And I've been in every single one of these things like a crazy person. But yeah. All right. We'll see you next week. Max, you know what you got to do.
Alrighty, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials: Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, with a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.